Nope. Call the number 515-605-9720. Welcome.
Hello, caller. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing great.
Show started, Ray?
Yep, show started. I'm still waiting upon everybody to come on the air. Where are you calling from?
Turtle Island.
Beautiful. What's new with you?
Excuse me?
What is new with you?
What is new?
Yep.
It's another day. Another day. Living under the ways of the government.
Hmm.
And you?
Another day. Me? Living over here in sunny, beautiful Kumaye property as a guest.
Hmm.
So anything new on your end?
No, it's pretty much the same old what's going on here in the tribal government. State government, local government, national government.
Yeah, everybody's just like gaining up for the elections, the crazy elections.
Yeah. Did you vote? Are you going to vote or did you vote already?
I'm still deciding.
They say if you don't vote, then don't go ahead.
You know, more times I keep on, everybody tells me to vote and keep on voting. But I feel these voting is just like they already know who the winner is beforehand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I ask myself, is voting a sham? Or is voting, you know what I mean, just...
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just to make it look good.
Exactly.
Well,
I don't see any indigenous, you know... representatives, mostly they're all white.
See, do you think they'll ever let an Indian on one of those committees like that? One that's going to speak up and be for the people? Hell no.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for him too. Let me see where he is. Because I sent everybody a text message, you know?
Yeah.
I sent everybody a text message to call in. Hello, caller 781. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
How? This is Lanny Horse with the Horn. You guys asked me to call in again this week, and I just finished doing some training with my for my son's release on his G-tube, J-tube. And I was hoping to I would take him home this weekend because they're having the repatriation of the Wounded Knee Massacre items that were stolen from Wounded Knee.
Mm.
Those are being returned tomorrow or over the weekend, and myself and my son, our great-great-great-grandmother, Jenny on the lead, she survived that massacre, and she, when that was all happening, she lost three of her kids and her husband, and she had a... She had the youngest one on her back, and through all of this killing, her husband's horse, ran right toward her, I'm sure he was afraid, too, but he ran to her. She was able to swing on him and get away, but as she was riding away, she felt a thump on her back, like a hammer hit her. But what had happened was they had shot at her, and that round killed her baby. So her baby saved her life, but she lost him. So she rode down into the creeks, and she escaped, and she buried that baby in one of those creeks there as she was riding back home to Cherry Creek. And that's what that school back home, Tahini School, was named after those ancestors of ours who escaped that massacre and made it home. So that's one thing I wanted to share with everybody, because we want closure as people for this atrocity that happened, and but I want to, I guess, move into the portion where and I one of the ladies talked about our elders who did not understand the treaties. Those treaties were written so that no one would understand them, and I wanted to talk about that some more and expound on it, because the language that is used by the federal government, by lawyers, is really deceptive. They use it against each other, and this isn't something that you do when you are making, these treaties with people, and there's a language barrier there. And the thing about those treaties when they were made, like with France and Britain, those treaties were made, both countries would take those treaties and they would put them under lock and key, and they would take their treaties with them, and they were kept secured. Well, ours, that treaty of 1868, they just rolled that thing up and got on the train. And then when they got over there to, where was it, Chicago, they started to change that treaty. And if you look at all the stuff that happened then, and this is why I say, the federal government is corrupt. And my co-law, Bryce Inderwoods, he got me on the great Sioux Nation tribal chairman's, you know, association thing. And when I got onto that phone call, one of the lawyers was talking. He was talking about all the great things they were going to do. But to me, you know, it didn't matter. It doesn't really matter what we say or do, you know. When the Wasichis came to our land, you know, they came with two books, Take Our Lands. You know, that first book they brought was Bible. They used that to steal our lands. Now, when that stopped working, then they broke out that law book. And the thing about the United States in all of this, they're just making it up as they go along. You know, that Constitution, the Constitution that we have, they just drew that up. Men just drew that up, you know, and this is the thing that, and I've been telling everybody from as long as I started to understand these things, that we have to get away from these constitutions that the Wasichu drew up for us. And I've been telling that for, I don't know, 15 years. To everybody in Cheyenne River, that we got to rewrite our Constitution and get away from this Constitution, because the Constitution that is used, and this is used, you know, every country around the world has one. Every group of people who are considered sovereign nations, they have a Constitution, and some of them are long, some of them are short, but in that Constitution are all the things that you hold sacred, you know, your language, your culture, and the indoctrination of your children. You know, that's why we used to have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, when we were all little, growing up, you know, stand up and put our heart over our hand in the clouds. That was part of the indoctrination, right? But we don't do that. You know, we allow the Wasichus to make up the rules, and then we submit to them. By not standing on our treaties, we submit to them. We get down on our knees, because this IRA government, it falls under Congress. Congress has what's called that supremacy clause. They will always trump you. And when we're under the IRA government, we're under them. It's not a nation-to-nation negotiation. And this is why they say the Great White Father. Well, that guy, the president, you know, whatever, like he doesn't have the right to be called the Great White Father. But this is the thing that the deception that the Europeans and the Wasichus had from the very beginning. They wanted to make us subservient to them. And this is why, like, when they first started doing negotiations and we had women, and I'm trying to speak a little louder because my son's trying to wake up here. They didn't want our women involved in any of these decision makings that you know we were making with the Wasichus. Look at these women. Just in 1920, they got the right to vote, and us as American. Native American Indians, whatever you want to call us, you know, in 1924, we just became citizens. Now, everybody says this Constitution. You know, this Constitution wasn't written for us. It wasn't written for the black man or the Mexican. It was written by white men for white men, you know, and women were excluded. So here we are. We're allowing white men to still tell us what to do. And if you look at here on Cheyenne River, 330 million annually is generated off of our lands. Of that, 2.5 million goes back to the people for our elders and our kids' school clothes program and everything else, you know. Somebody has to tell me, how do those numbers make sense? Now, you look over here at the IRA and the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs. And this is the problem that we have with our tribal councils. Our tribal councils, they are the ones that are donning that cloak of colonialism. you know, with our tribal attorneys, you know, throwing around federal ended law. So, you know, you have the BIA, and yeah, I went on the radio maybe a year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and Cheyenne River, you know, the powers that be there, Harold and the council, they banned me from talking on the radio because I'm telling everybody these things I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we don't have to live like this, and we will be better off when we stand on our treaty, because this whole thing with the IRA, you know, and Cheyenne River being incorporated under the power of Congress, you know, that means we can be rubbed out by a vote of Congress. But here we are. They want us to forget about this treaty. And we just about do. You know, we have our councilman there. Bryce's sister, she says, first thing she'll say, oh, the federal government says, you know. And, you know, when Bryce got me on to that, Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Association, I might have hair-lipped a couple of them because I told them it doesn't matter what these lawyers say. The federal government's corrupt. You know, the federal government is ran by corporations. And if it wasn't corrupt, we would have the Black Hills back. You know, we would have all the revenue from all of that gold that was taken out of there. We're talking in the billions, or is it in the trillions? I have to look at the numbers. I put it in the newspaper what the total value of that was. And that was back in 1960. Now, even if we did sell the Black Hills, which we didn't, you know, we would still have the mineral rights. So all of that gold that was taken out of there, you know, and that went out to a Canadian corporation up in Canada. Well, you know, the federal government has come in. They have mined our minerals, our resources. You know, look at all these open pit mines that they left in the Black Hills for uranium and all through the Navajo Nation. You know, and when this EPA lady came here, maybe 2 years ago, somebody texted me, asked me to come up and talk with these people because I didn't know who they were and I didn't know why I was being called, but I went up there and it took me about, you know, 10 minutes to listen, to understand what was going on. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to allow a Chinese billionaire to drill for uranium and store the radioactive water in the Black Hills in an aquifer. So I went after this EPA lady here, and you know, she was a, you know, you could tell she had a little pull in the EPA. I don't remember her name or who she was, but so I told her, you know, why we're even having this conversation about allowing a Chinese billionaire to drill for uranium in our lands. I was like, we won't do business with communist Cuba, but it's okay for us to do business with communist China because this guy's a billionaire. So you guys are going to kick this around until it makes enough sense and, you know, some people get a little money in their pocket, and then it's okay for this guy to come here and drill for uranium in our lands. I was like, now, why would we allow that to happen when you guys haven't even addressed all the open, you know, the 2,000 open pit mines that are down there in Navajo Nation, that the open pit mines that were left here in the Black Hills, you know, that are causing cancer to the people, that are polluting the water. I mean, why, you know, I was like, the definition of insanity is to get up every morning and do the same thing you did the next day and expect a different outcome. So you haven't even cleaned up what you did last time. You know, all of those people got cancer. I was like, the Cheyenne River is still running hot, and it's going to run hot for 40,000 years, or 4,000 years, 4,000 years. You know, I was like, that's forever. That's forever in our terms, human terms. And you guys ain't fixed it. So why are we having this conversation about you guys allowing a Chinese billionaire to come here and pollute our land more? I was like, we don't have second homes we can go live at. This is all we got. You know, so, but the way this all changes is we have to, as a people, we all have to put our heads together, and we have to rewrite this Constitution now. We have all these people here, and we're the poorest people in the nation. I mean, Indian country led the world in suicide, probably leads the world in suicide and poverty. So tell me how this experimental government is working out for you. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to say it doesn't work when you got multimillionaires living on your reservations in their Washichus. And our children have food insecurities. You know, our elders worry about getting cold. We have malnutrition. How are your kids supposed to learn when they're hungry? But here we are on Cheyenne River. We run, 60,000 head of cows. That's a lot of money. And here we are. Our kids are hungry. And our tribal council, Harold and our councilman, they can fix all of this, but they choose not to. You know, so these are things that we have to address. If we don't address these and we don't do this, then, you know, nothing's going to change. Because we can keep talking all we want. Until that changes, nothing's going to change. Thank you.
That's you know, when I listen to what Lanny has expressed, I don't know if you guys started out with a prayer because I just now got on dealing with, you know, a family that needs help, a grandma that needs help, and so forth. So that's what I'm dealing with. But if there isn't no prayer, I'll give you guys a prayer, and then I'm going to really turn this thing up real heavy. So here's my opening prayer, and thank you for opening us up, Tyreek. I appreciate that. Mitaki epi wana wo cheki on jiwa anago tapo hoka he hokun kasilo akhan ka kichima ne te lekha to ki ake o khansula talo on kina jibna wo ki on jiwa kila bikte ni he shet ke wa ho chi chingte ni shinala ni wa khapi na eta ha takule na i wo gla ka ki hena echa yeche tu taku waslo ki lena you happy ki lena echa ya tu ten lila ota hun khwan spekile you have me ki ason kishna la blachus e tala on kina jibna hawo ki kile ena hiu chi che wa khatsa ka nishna la ni wa khapi kya he chin se am pet ki le chon waste ta kun ko cha pe ki ena ni che ke ho chi cha pe cha usi un kya pe wa ma khas ka ki le ne isha wo che ke hiu chi cha ki ana lok ta na hi to wa po blachus e wo che ki un ka khapi kya he chin se chon waste wo che ke wa ka ke ho mi ta ke bi. Well, good evening, guys. We started the show where I wanted to pick it up off of last week after Lanny, you know, was given his expression and his input and his resolve to what he sees on the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation here in South Dakota. You know, listening audience, we've been trying to tell you guys over the past, you know, 200-something-odd years that most of the indigenous people in Indian country do not want Western culture civilization because of what my little brother Lanny had expressed, you know, in an open term, because a lot of people from the tribal perspective, they all talk a good game, and I don't give a shit who it is. Every time our people are threatened with the sociological deformatories that are aimed at our land base, or even our people, our animals and so forth. Here's a bunch of corrupted fucking politicians for the tribal government trying to eliminate the population of fucking people. And that's the problem here. And so the only way, man, things can ever get better and ever come to a mutual term of what is a resolve, we need to get rid of you fuckers. End of the story right there. We need to get rid of all you tribal government people because you don't make any matters any good. You make them worse. You don't like feeling threatened when somebody tells you exactly what Lanny has expressed, how the heart is. We are sick and tired of living in this shit, but you guys use white man's terminology to hold people accountable. You want to threaten us, putting us in fucking jail, removing our kids, placing our elders in nursing. You're the reasons why, man, tribal governments have always been a failure since the Indian Reorganization Act have been forced upon people in 1934. A majority of people never agreed to it. A majority of people never consented for the acceptance of it. But you people did it because you like Western culture. You like the language. You like lying, man. I get sick and tired of this shit. I don't want to hear no other bullshit from other people coming at thinking they have the know-how. When people like Lanny and myself are expressing the popular opinion, God damn it, you tribal governments, man, are holding things behind people's back on a mutual form. And that mutual form is to eliminate the remaining body of your people. Don't fucking tell me that you best serve our people. Anytime election time comes up, you lie. You constantly lie. And you go to sleep lying. And then when the minute you wake up, when the sun comes up in the east, you lie again. I'm getting sick and tired of you people doing this shit. And the rest of you people that are listening, understand this. The independence will never strive. It'll never grow because of people like this working for the white man. That's the way everything is happening today. They work for him. They do not work for indigenous people. I get sick and tired of this shit when we constantly try to tell you guys, leave shit alone. Leave the people alone. This is why we're angry. We face this every day, every day. Don't come online and talk nonsense, people. That language is what I'm using here, called the English language, has been a brand new, the remaining people that don't understand the phonics of why English is the way it is. It's a lying language. It loves to murder. It steals. It does everything in a heinous fashion. And you people keep voting it in every time elections come up. You want to put that in. The people that are already elected and sitting in them positions do not, I repeat, do not represent the governing body of people living in fucking poverty. They do not. It's a game. They lie. And until our people start waking the fuck up and looking at the problem in Indian country, then and only then can we create a resolve of being free, independent, and left alone. Back to you, people, because this is my passion. I love all of you, but if we're going to continue to play this fucking game with them, this is where they're going to lead us, a path down to the road of destruction, where we will commit suicide because of all of this shit and all this outside contamination coming in. You, the tribal governments, are to blame. Nobody else. You, because you want your people gone. You don't believe in your people. If you did, you wouldn't be doing the shit you're doing. Back to you all.
Kanupa,
yes.
Are you there? Okay,
yep.
whatever you just said right now, okay, give me 3 seconds right now. I'm going to upload a new platform, and whatever you just said right now, can you repeat it again? Hold on. 3, 2, 1. Hello, Kanupa. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but I'm a little upset. What's wrong with your machine?
Okay. We have a new satellite. Could you please repeat 5 minutes ago what you just said?
Well, what I just said is simple, man. You didn't record it? You didn't get it? Or what? What's going on?
No. It's a new platform. Just...
Well, why didn't you say that begin with before I even start talking? See, that's the problem. That's the way Western culture does things, see? If I've known about this, man, I'm going to keep going. Listen, the bureaucracy in America is about eliminating people of color, mainly the poor people. And I'm a poor person. I'm a poor individual. Screw all the ups and downs with all this shit. Nah, uh-uh. I disagree with all this stuff because my people never consented to it. They never voted for it. The white man always comes along and enforces his own figure of speech, let alone our stupid tribal governments like Pine Ridge, Cheyenne River, Crow Creek, Rosebud, Standing Rock, Fort Thompson, all of them. And even our allies from the Cheyenne of Lane Deer and the Ethiopian people, of our Arapaho people in Wyoming. This shit's got to stop. If you don't put the blame on the white man and his philosophical standards, goddammit, where in the hell are we going to go? They've done this to our four-legged brothers, the animals. Where are they going to go? This is the problem. You guys keep wanting to be like a fucking white man. Enough already, people. Come on, wake the hell up. Don't be sitting back and fiddling your goddamn fingers over a laptop computer and trying to decipher anything that doesn't belong to us. Man, you guys keep doing this shit over and over. Why do you think sicknesses are occurring in a country of ours, especially amongst the indigenous people and yet alone people of color? My God, man, Indians, wake the hell up. Come on, man. Every time we are threatened by the sociological deformities of the white man, you bow your head, man. Quit doing that shit. That's not our way. We had honor. We had pride. We had dignity. We had freedom. We understand what independence is. We kept our head high. But today, all you goddamn Indians are bowing your fucking head to a fucking bell or a whistle that rings like Pavlov's dogs, man. Enough of this shit. I don't give a shit if Ames listening or the missing murdered women all of them listening. I don't give a damn. They all lie. They're all following, man, to the bells of a white man. They never follow the voices and the songs of indigenous people, putting makeup on, masquerading with all that bright lipstick on your goddamn face. Indians, man, you're ashamed. You're ashamed of yourself. So goddamn it, wash your face. Learn how it is to be connected to the damn earth. The earth is your grandmother. I get sick and tired of you guys all trying to be white. If you let that white man get a chance, he'll torture you. He'll kill you. He'll put you in jail. He'll do everything to silence your voice, to question your identity. That fucking white man's a fucking devil, man. You don't even want to say nothing to him. Y'all bow your goddamn heads. Well, enough said. I get sick and tired of this. The Indian Reorganization Act started from the smoking gun, then the Wheeler-Howard Act, and then the Indian Reorganization. Now, that's how it started. My passion is what I aim at, people, because I get sick and tired of you guys all trying to be white. If that's the way you want to be, cut your goddamn hair. Take all your beadwork off and go live with the white man. Go live with him and see how he treats you. I'll give you about 10 days, Tom, so you'll be trying to fucking figure your way out to run back to a reservation. I leave it back to you guys. Step up. Start saying something. Question that. And if you have to use the cursing language to express your feeling, do it, man. If the white man didn't like me to use his language when I cuss and get mad at them, they shouldn't have forced it upon us. A lot of my people can't even speak their own language because of you, white man. Back to you all, man.
Go ahead, jump in. Come on. It's your show, Indigenous Voices of People. Come on. 208, last digit 6803, 781-6814, 918-0762. Come on, engage. 605-2621. Everybody silent. Hello? Hello? No technical difficulties. Hello? Somebody there? Hello? Hello? I don't know what's going on, guys. Hello? 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 Mic check. Hello? Hello? Yeah, you there? Hello? Yeah, hello? 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 What the hell's going on? Hello? Check 1, 2. Check.
Are you still looking for people to speak?
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How clear?
Pretty clear.
I don't know what the hell happened. You know, Canupo was talking. He went silent. 918 went silent. 208 went silent.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well,
talk. It's Indigenous radio. Talk. Go ahead. You know.
So, the thing that that we as a people we need to do, and what we need to do on Cheyenne River is, you know, all those communities, you know, that live there, that are located in Cheyenne River, you know, like Thunder Butte, Red Scaffold, Cherry Creek, Greengrass, White Horse. All those communities, they need to, you know, they need to own the lands that surround that community. Now, the problem that we had, you know, when they introduced the Dawes Act, you know, that Dawes Act was, you know, we already own that land, but the ploy, the deception behind it, and if you look at the deception that took place when the Lakota signed that treaty of 1868, you had all of these Washichus and corporations, and then, you know, they wanted land. That's how you get these big ranches. You know, all these big ranchers, these Washichu guys who own all this land, because these guys who helped negotiate that treaty, they were the ones that acquired that land personally. So there was a deception and corruption from the very beginning of all of this. And now, the Washichu has always overexploited. You know, he's the fat taker, but he's always overexploited everything that he's come in across, because this is, greed is a mental illness. And the problem that we have with our tribal councils is, you know, a lot of them, you know, we're impoverished. But the thing with it is, too, is that, you know, we don't teach our children leadership. We don't teach them that. We don't indoctrinate them in that in schools like we should be, because we allow the federal government to teach our kids. Now, if you go to Utah doesn't allow the federal government to teach their kids, because the people in Utah, the Mormons, they have their own beliefs, and they don't let the government dictate to them what they're going to teach their kids. And you down south, you know, all them Southern Baptists, they're the same way. They, you know, there's a saying that's used, Laissez faire. You know, that means hands off. You know, and that was a term coined early on when they were creating the United States. And they don't want, you know, you have all these, always had different factions in the creation of the government. But the more government you have, the less rights you have. And now here we are, you know, on Cheyenne River, you know, they allowed cannabis and, you know, to grow the plant, the cannabis plant. You know, and we all voted, and when I was running for council, and this was the thing, like I ran for council, and I won District 5 by like 30 votes, and the tribal council on Cheyenne River runs the elections, you know, so the election board, you know, they stole that election from me, and they wouldn't give me a recount. They wouldn't give me a recount because we caught them. They were sending voters up to vote, and a lady that was voting for me, she went up, and somebody already voted for her. They voted for Ryman LeBeau in her place, and that's the problem. That's where they messed up. Election board is when they tried to steal that. They sent people in to vote. Well, when Brenda Houston went up there to vote, at the end, she seen somebody already voted for her, and they voted for her brother, who's been in the military for over 20 years, and he lives in Utah, and he didn't come home to vote, and they voted for her son, and he just got out of prison. There was no way he could register to vote.
What so tribe are you? What tribe
Cheyenne
are you?
River Sioux Tribe.
And
well, I'm the Tazapcho Lakota, but this Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Incorporated IRA government election, that's where this happened. So when we caught them, right, and I filed the complaint, and I took them to court. They kept me in court for 2 years, and this is how powerful they are. You know, they have the judges on their side. The judges dismissed it. So the judges said, and the judge who ruled in my case is the uncle of Mary Miller. Well, she's additional. Her uncle was the appellate court judge who ruled on our case. Well, he should have not heard the case, and he should have stepped down, but he didn't. So he heard that case, and he ruled in favor of her and the election board. Because the thing is you can't catch the whole half the tribal council in corruption, in voter corruption. You know, that's a federal offense. Look at here, over here, Donald Trump, he gets all these recounts. But if you're an honest Lakota, you can't get one recount. So they violated my civil rights because the election board called me up. This first phone call, they said, we're going to talk to you about what documents we're going to allow you to look at, because I wanted to look at the signature sheet where those illegal votes took place of those guys who didn't even sign. I wanted to take a picture of those names, and I wanted to start from there where the voter fraud began, because you have the guys who runs the voting station, and he selects two people, and each one of those people has to ID everyone who signs that voter registration sheet. So they have to ID them, look at their ID, and watch them vote and sign that sheet. Well, this happened three times. So when we caught them, Dane LeBeau, who's like the uncle to Ryman LeBeau, who's the top councilman that was in council, and they need Ryman because Ryman helps do the illegal land trades for these Washichus. And so what tribal council does is tribal council doesn't advertise the land. By law, they're supposed to advertise these lands that come up. Well, they don't advertise them. They just amongst tribal council and their buddies, they decide who gets the land.
So you're trying to tell me they need to advertise it, put it publicly for everybody to know about first?
Yeah, the land does, yeah. It's a law. It has to be made. It has to be fair. But they don't do that. They just decide who's going to get that land. And it's generally a friend of a councilman. So if you
you're trying to tell me it's all behind closed doors.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. And that's how it works on probably every reservation.
Wow.
Yeah. Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, the problem that we have in these tribal councils is the majority, like, of our tribal council is uneducated. You know, it's a good old boy club. You know, they're all cattle guys. And this whole thing that we've fallen for is we think these Washichi guys with these cows, no, this is all our land. We see, oh, well, that's success right there. This guy's got all these cows, and he's got that truck, and he's got these fine things. Now, the problem with this is the Washichi's mindset. Now, the problem with the cow occupies 70% of the lands around the world. 70%. Now the cow damages the land the way he grazes. So up in China, half of our indigenous plants are gone. Half of them, they're gone, extinct.
Because of the cow? The grazing of the cows?
Yeah, and they go in there and you know, like when they'll run through the choke cherries and the plum bushes, those cows run right through there and they trample them down, you know. Mm. And so that's why our medicines and our berries and all these things are disappearing, because we move heaven and earth to accommodate that cow. We build dams for them so that cow can drink that water up. So he can drink that water up, and then we ship him off of the reservation. We're shipping our water off the reservation through these cows. You know, so we're depleting our resources here, but here we are. You know, we have we call them our four-legged relatives and the deer and the buffalo and the antelope and all of those. Those guys have equal rights to that water, but that's a commodity, just like everything else. But what you need to do in an instance when you are going to, I guess, if we were to have a nation-to-nation agreement, then as a nation, you have to export something off of your land that somebody is going to pay for, but you would have a trade agreement with the government, with another government. So whether that would be buffalo or whether that would be cattle or whatever, but that should go be a nation to nation agreement. And
excuse my naive. Okay, like my question is, if my tribe wants to trade with another tribe, you're trying to tell me that I have to go through government to trade with another tribe?
Yeah, it's called the interstate commerce, and Congress regulates interstate trade. So, but this is why we as tribes, we have to, you have to strengthen that, and you have to stand on your treaty.
Jeez, I didn't know it was that difficult over here. I thought a tribe, if they want, you know, wheat, say you are wheat and I'm cattle, you know what I mean? I could trade my cattle, you know what I mean, with your wheat between each other. I mean, not going through. Oh man, sorry to hear that.
Well, you could theoretically do that. You know, but because those are what we're, you're supposed to do under your sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand where the sovereignty comes. Like we have all of the us native peoples have sovereignty, and to have that sovereignty, you have to have your land. And the more land that you own, the stronger your sovereignty. So, like, mm-hmm. if your reservation is more than 50%, you have more sovereignty. Now, if it falls below 50%, which a lot of them do, they got that checkerboarding, and now all that checkerboarding came from the Dawes Act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the problem with that was when that was introduced, the Native American wasn't a citizen, so he couldn't go apply for these. Once they gave out that 180 acres, the Indian couldn't go apply for that land because he wasn't even considered a citizen. He was still considered something else, but it wasn't
what is
a
that
citizen.
What is that something else?
Well, I mean, we can only imagine. I mean, you know, we were at that time and still in many instances considered a second-class citizen and uneducated, you know. But this was the problem that we had with this interaction is, you know, with us, with natives, our women, you know, had equal rights. You know, we didn't look at our women as less than. The women had the right to speak, and everybody in traditional government and a traditional way of life had a right to speak. So that's why these meetings would go on for days and days, because everybody spoke and everybody listened to these people who spoke. So when the founding fathers started off and they excluded the women, it's like, you know, half of your population doesn't even get to make a decision
mm-hmm.
on any of these laws and rules. So we were dealing with and still are, you know, people who feel that their way is right. But for us, we have a different
mindset. They're following the book. The book says it.
Your mindset of a native adult is he has responsibility. We have responsibilities. We have responsibilities to our elders. We have responsibility to the land. We have responsibility to that river. We have responsibilities, you know, to these four-legged, to the fish, to the winged, to the birds, to the eagles. We had this responsibility that we had to protect those things. We had to make sure everyone has food. We had to make sure everybody was warm. Those were the responsibilities. So when they gave that man, that head man, that Wapaha, and they gave those head warriors those war shirts, and those shirts had the hair on it, and the Wapaha had the feathers. Those were there to remind these head men of the responsibilities that they had for their children and their elders, for those that were less fortunate. So these head men, back when they roamed the plains, they were the last ones to go to sleep. You know, they made sure security was out. They made sure everybody had water. They made sure everybody had wood for heat. That was what a leader was. He was there to protect him. That warrior was there to protect him.
Isn't that the tribal council is all about? Isn't that the responsibility of the tribal council?
I theoretically, that should be the case, but like I said, we have a, you know, I think in just about every reservation at Cheyenne River, for sure, you got like, I think 54% of your kids have food insecurity or have child hunger at a rate of 54%, 52%.
So what the hell is the tribal council doing about it? What are they doing?
You need to ask tribal council that question.
You know, I would love if somebody could get the tribal council on the show. I would love it. You know, I would love to ask them this question, a simple question. If your job is to be the headsman of that, you know, of your people, what are you doing for your people? What's the job? What's your job? Go ahead.
So there is obviously if you go back in time and you look at even the creation of the federal government and the government as we know it, even George Washington said he didn't want politics and political parties because he said these politicians and these political parties are going to forget about the people and they're only going to worry about themselves and getting reelected. You know, so here we are, and we're dealing with a governmental system that's doing exactly what the founding fathers, for all of their flaws, said that was going to happen. So this is something that, like I said, we have to get away from this form of government because it doesn't work. You know, it was made up and, you know, we had a form of government, these traditional governments that were developed for over thousands of years. And it made us strong, and we were strong. So now the thing is if you can live with Mother Nature and you can live in conjunction with Mother Nature. And now this is the problem that we have across the board is we make laws, man-made laws. And we don't base our laws on the natural order of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is you can't fight Mother Nature. If you make man-made laws and you say, okay, it's okay to pollute this water because a judge says so, well, your kids aren't going to have no water to drink. And this is where we're at right now with these dead zones in these rivers, in these lakes, with PFAS and all of these waters, because we're allowing corporations to make these laws that allow them to pollute our land or water so they can operate at a profit. Remember, greed is a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under the traditional government and the traditional thought process, you're going to say, no, we can't do that because this water is life. This water is our medicine. So we can't allow this commercial farmer to spray Monsanto herbicides, chemicals on our land that kills everything except the seed. Well, that water gets into our water table and it's there. And you can't remove it.
Like what is happening down in southern Turtle Island, like down in the south.
Yeah. So, but this isn't living in harmony with Mother Nature. Now, there's a natural way you can plant. There's a natural way you can farm. You're not going to get the pretty perfect-looking crops that you get now, you know, that's all manicured and it's all, you know, uniformity. You know, you're going to have, you know, different growths here and there that wouldn't be as pretty, but it would be, you would be in harmony with Mother Nature. Now, if you can live with Mother Nature and you can live in harmony with Mother Nature, then you're never going to be poor.
Okay, now, I got a question for you. I got a really serious question for you. How many tribal councils are there on Turtle Island right now?
No, I don't know.
There's approximately 292
tribal governments.
Some of them, tribal governments. Some of them are not called a tribal government. Okay, they're called. Hold on here. There's a name for them that they business council. They go by a business council. They're not a tribal government, but they're the same thing. So out of that 295, you'll probably have maybe 95 of them as business council, where there's only like maybe 6 to 7 seated council representatives that administer a large, a quantum of a tribal land base of a reservation. Like, for instance, Pine Ridge, for instance, we have a grand total of 21 council representatives, which we shouldn't have, okay? But there's 2 from each district. Now, I believe Cheyenne River is in the same similar circumstance. Now, I'm not going to say, don't quote me on it. Yeah, quote me on it, because they do have a large area of land base, too, with other sister bands. You got the Minihoju, you got the Itazip Chola, you got the Ohinupa, and then you got the Sihasapa, okay? So those 4 sister bands reside on the Cheyenne River Indian Reservation, where Pine Ridge, on the other hand, were the Ogallalas, which, modern speaking, they call us Ogallalas. Nah, it's called Ogallala. That's what we are. The people that pour things up. In other words, we scatter amongst ourselves. And so that's why our name means that. Next door is the Rosebud people, and they are called the Si-Chang-Hu, the burnt thigh people, meaning the thigh of your leg is burnt. They were our original fire keepers. That's why they kept the horn with that fire close to their thigh. And so it made the thigh look like it was burning or, getting red, and that's why they call it, that's the Si-Chang. Si-Chang is your thigh. Hu means burnt. It's all red. So they were our fire keepers. And each sister band played a role for which responsibility it had. Where we Ogallalas, we like to fight. We're the warrior people. We like to fight. That's why we can't come together. We can't get along with each other. That's just the way we are. That's Ogallala. That's why we're scattered amongst ourselves. So each one has a significant representation to that. But back to why the tribal governments exist, when they start dehumanizing we two-legged, okay, they wanted to find a way to implement this change in federal policy because of our mutual land base. And not only that, it's because of our animals, the buffalo, the elk, the deer, every four-legged creature that you can think of that roamed on this continent freely and unmolested and independently. That white man found a way to reduce us, to make us, like they always call us. We Indian people are nothing more than beggars and thieves. Well, the beggars and thieves are the fucking white man. That fucker is that. Okay? Because he's in the country illegally. He don't belong here. But all 4 ships that arrived here in 1492, they released all these ex-cons. That's why they believe in jail. They believe in jail. The white man believes in jail because he comes from that. But that son of a bitch will not take that same philosophical standard and apply it to his own fucking people that did that to him in those garrisons or kingdoms or whatever the fuck they call them across the waters. So they utilize that behavior against us to make us And now we got the tribal governments doing the same damn thing for the white man. For the white man. That goddamn tribal government is doing that. Back to
all of them. All of them? All of them, Canoe?
All of them. All of them.
Jeez. So tribal government is basically giving rights to corporations like Coca-Cola.
They're doing it. They're not telling the people. They see, that's the tribal government's responsibility. Did this COVID-19 coronavirus, it's a third stage fucking pneumonia, people. You don't get it. It weakens, the corona is the weakness of your gland, man. But God damn, you Indian people don't get it. This is why we're always subjugated to this colonial abuse, man. But you can't tell these people that shit. They think they know everything. Well, go ahead. You can adapt your own theory. This is why we use the white man's language to decipher any popular opinion, okay, whether it's bad or good. But overall, in the actual reality of human science, human math, human dignity, human heart, the brain, when you contaminate the brain with philosophical standards of the European's way of thinking, you kill the Indian, but you save the man. Right there. God damn, man, people don't get it. That's why we sound like a white man. I don't want to sound like a fucking white man because it's nonsense. It's how do you want to say it in white man terms? It's ridiculous, huh? That's what that means. But that's what they pushed us into understanding because everybody's going to say this. Oh, well, my mom, my dad said the joint did. No, fuck no. I don't care if he said that. He did not tell you to bring it back. My grandpa told me never join the white man's armed forces. My grandfather, he was in the First World War. That's what he did, okay? Mm-hmm. So he told his cacos, his grandkids, don't join them. It's no good. He was right. So I never joined. And I'm glad I never did because I'd be stupid just like the rest of the Indian people. And then that's no offense to you fucking military people. Here you guys are that joined the white man's brigades, whether it's the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines, but you cannot point your fucking guns back at the white man for killing and raping and taking our kids and putting our elders in there. You cannot do that. Oh, but the one minute the white man says, oh, something for vexing, you go over there. Crazy horse, sitting bull, no ears, rain in the face. They're probably all rolling over in their graves somewhere. God damn it. And we're supposed to be, man, immune to you? Nah, fuck that shit. This is why I said today's show is going to get heavy. God damn it, look at it. Children are being malnutritious for what reason? Death, people. White man's doing this, and they're making the tribal governments repeat the same thing for them. They don't have to come in with a cavalry on horseback to attack a defenseless man. Camp of women and children? Fuck no, they're making us do it. They're teaching us how to do it to ourselves. And yet you guys go for it, man. God, when's enough enough? You keep running from the goddamn problem, the music. I'm facing the music every fucking day, people. You don't hear me on the internet crying for help, wanting money? You sons of bitches out there that are all on the internet giving money to all these fake fuckers? Hey, give me some fucking money. I need that help too, goddammit. Oh, but wait a minute. Oh, I'm not comfortable with your philosophical standards. Oh, fuck Chinupa. Fuck that guy. I want to. Well, I'm telling the truth, man. And all you nonprofit fuckers are doing the same goddamn thing. You know you are. Don't tell me, man, you ain't. It's taxpaying dollars that keeps you fucking fed, people. 501c3s do that shit, whether you like it or not, man. I don't see you guys, man, laying people to rest that are empty, laying them to rest, man. Fuck all this shit. White man, you started this. You did it, white man. Nobody else did this. You did. Get sick and tired of you guys, man, all trying to be white. Well, shut up. Quit talking like that. Put the blame on that fucker. You won't do it. I don't give a shit what goes on in China. I don't give a shit what goes on in Korea. They're facing the same thing with their people in poverty. My God, you guys. Stick your neck out and learn how to have the turtle philosophy. Have a hard heart, but willing to stick your fucking neck out, man. Get sick and tired of this shit. You guys all trying to follow the white man's path. Well, dye your goddamn skin. Dye your hair, which you women do all the time. You dye it blonde. Go live with them and shut the fuck up and leave us indigenous people alone to deal with our own the way we know how, and that's freedom and independence. Back to all of you.
So a question came in. So there's some indigenous reservations with casinos. Are the people getting any share from this? Or is it only tribal governments who are...
Let me tell you guys something. Okay. Let me tell you about this man matter of a great importance. Okay? The casinos were a way to divide people and keep them codependent on a system that isn't real. Okay? It isn't real. But as long as you're going to spend your taxpaying fucking dollars on it, that's how they decipher the issue. Now, the casinos say that they're going to profit from it and take their earnings and create a per capita payment for every tribal member that's enrolled. All right? That's their normal behavior. That's what they say. I disagree. I beg to differ. Why? Okay, here's a good example, Tyreek and Lanny. Listen real carefully. Okay? All of these elected sons of bitches that work for the tribal government and the casinos, they get all these brand new cars, okay, the minute they get a substantiated amount of a paycheck, okay? So they put their earnings on these car dealerships, and they want to get this nice-looking fucking car. When they get hungry, try eating that son of a bitch, okay? Start on the tires and the cushions on the seats and shit. That you'll never devour them. You'll never swallow them. My point that I'm raising this issue is every fucking time Indian people, poor or otherwise, get employed with the tribal governments, they turn a cold cheek against their own tribal members. They think they're better, like the white man, all the elites. The elites rise above water, okay? That's what they say. Well, one day that fucker's going to die. The white race is on the verge of extinction, people. And you're going to forgive them, and you're going to want what great mystery to, hey, forgive. No, that fucker has to forgive us before he can ever be, man, taunted to a happy hunting grounds. So when these people are employed with these casinos and the tribal governments, they look down at their own. But them sons of bitches came from poverty. I remember the half-breeds knocking on my grandpa's door. Roy, can my mom borrow a can of beef? Yvonne, can my mom get some flour? Hey, Chinupa, man, can you guys help us out with some corn or some green beans? Man, we took care of you fuckers, and this is how you treat us? We're still in that poverty, the same place where you came out of. And don't say, oh, well, if I can do it, you can do it. Fuck you. We're still doing it for you. You make no bit of a difference whether your skin's fucking red, yellow, black, or white. It's the ideology of the sophisticated and educated doom of how imperialism works. Come on, people. And that's how they do it. That's what they do to every fucking human being out there. All of them will claim to be Indian. Oh, my grandma was a Cherokee princess. Oh, hey, my grandpa, man, he was a Pataloway king, man. He was the king of his tribe. You're fucking lying, people. We never had kings and princesses. And you fucking white people can lie. And that's where we get that from. My point that I'm raising, every time a question comes from other countries, your countries are facing the same goddamn thing. Your people are doing it to your own, man. Look at it. Take a step back and look at, analyze your fucking country and see exactly. They're all falling to the brigade of a fucking white man. Back to you all.
Another question is coming in. Kanupa, who are you voting for? Okay, lines are open. Who wants to say something? Come on, people. This is Indigenous Voices of People. 515-605-9720. That's the phone number if you want to be a guest on the show. We got 35 minutes remaining.
Hello, this is Jenny calling from the Piikani Nation here in northwest Montana. You were asking Chinupa who's going to vote for what. Chinupa don't vote. I thought you knew that by now, Tyrick.
I'm just reading off the questions. I'm not, it's not me. I'm just hosting the show, reading off the questions.
Yeah.
These are not my questions.
So what Lanny was talking about, I listened to what Lanny was talking about. You know, and the things that he's sharing with us is very accurate, what he's saying, okay? But the thing, what I always question is the ones that have these men that have all this good knowledge and good understandings and their mind is open. They have a bigger view of what's taking place and what. Why ain't they connecting with us other tribes? When we talk about the waters, which I've been sharing, we're at the headwaters up here. Anything and everything that they do to the headwaters down up here is going to destroy your waters down there. We have a lot of cattle, ranchers, farmers, ranchers, all that crap going on up here. Overgrazing. All kinds of stuff up here that's happening with this water, all because of an illegal water compact that they pushed through. And when Lanny was talking about how they do this voting, how they're really corrupt in the voting too, how sometimes they'll have a rigged machine, which they did up here to push this whole water compact through, which I still have the paperwork on that. So when we're talking about stuff like that, people like us that were taught in the right way of understanding our old ones when they were alive and what, we now, that's who we are right now. Hmm? And we try to pass this knowledge to, you know, our own people at times, that, and then we think that they all understand, that they should understand what we're talking about, but then in reality, most of them don't, because a lot of them weren't paid attention to enough to, or their parents or grandparents, for them to listen, sit, listen, and learn from them, pushed into the school system, which don't teach us anything that we're talking about right now. All of this, what we talk about, the colonization and all this, colonization, the abuse in the schools, which I went through, as a child myself, so I know what that is. But we know what hateful racism, discrimination, all that, you know, what it really is when we talk about the system that we're all controlled by. So what Lanny's talking about, yeah, very interesting. So what I want to know is, when are they going to start connecting with all of us other tribes? Because we're all in the same situation, like he's saying. Every tribe, tribal government, business council, which we have a business council up here because they're corporate. They all do all these meetings behind closed doors, locked doors. They lock the doors on us up here. We don't get to go sit in on these business meetings when these corporate people are coming in. They invite them in, feed them good, you know, and lock the doors on us while we're outside, you know, either banging on the door or waiting for them to come out to cuss them out, you know? So it's really ugly, really ugly. And when Lanny was talking about the lands and everything, how it's checkerboarded now, that's how it is up here. It's all checkerboard, okay? So when you look at it, if you people pay attention to Luis Cabal's case, when she went against the U.S. government because they were stealing all those funds from old ones, 100 years of minerals, of funds, you know, that were missing. So when they won the case, it was basically for her is to buy back the lands that are no longer in her hands. But what did they do? The half-breeds, you know, in the system, the government system, you know, they worked a way to turn it around on us, to sell our land back to ourselves. Well, how the hell is that? So now we have a bunch of people that don't have no land. oh, it's the business council. You know, they claim they're the tribe, so, oh, it's the business council's land. You know, the government's going to protect it. Nah, bullshit. The government's going to step in and take it, you know? And that's how greedy they are. They want anything and everything that's still left of us, and that's their territory. And I know
so
we have rights,
so
but if we didn't...
So it's called a business council? Business?
We just told you, man. Listen, God damn it, listen. Okay? Listen, Tyreek, listen. Okay? Please listen. Fuck, we're trying to teach you something. God damn it. Kill that white man thinking in your brain, man. Listen.
But all of it goes back to the IRA Act and all the BIA stuff, all of that. It's all together. Okay? So... with the business council, we used to have the traditional council, which they called the honorary council, and it was all the old guys. There's 9 of them, and they only had one superintendent. So Earl, old person, the one that claimed that he was a hereditary chief, which he wasn't, he basically was a part of the IRA Act and why, you know, he agreed on all that, you know? He wasn't a traditional chief. He wasn't a man of the pipe. He was a church chief. So to him, he didn't give a shit. He's seen too many money signs. And it's like he, you know, gave himself to the goddamn greedy white devil, you know? But all of our rights, you know, that he gave away for it, too. So when he died last year, we don't know what the hell kind of rights we still have left now. This is the world that we have to live in. I don't know what type of world you guys are all living in, but this is what we have to live in. We're still at those times where the government is still not our friend. They're worse than the biggest enemy. Huh? They don't care. But even with the COVID shit, we lost 79 people? Shoot, that's a lot for us. But to the government, that's not enough. That's their mentality. Hmm? Anything and everything the government does today, we look at it as a threat to us. Hmm? We have chiefs up in Canada, all around us, that are yelling at their government systems today because of this goddamn constitution shit and, oh, until they're civilized. And, you know, they're asking for them to leave us alone. We know how to take care of ourselves now, but they don't want to do that. And that's still happening. It's going to continue to happen. And how's it going to continue? Because their own people, that's their biggest vote, is this fucking white man education. That's their biggest vote. And we're trying to decolonize. We still have our own tribal government system, still pushing it on our children, still pushing it on our people. When you want to ask, well, what's the council doing? They're doing business as usual. They're not telling the people nothing. Maybe they don't know it. I don't know. They're pretty dumb. But they all want to play spiritual, ceremonial, and talk all that for us. Huh? Well, everyone that they talk about today, we're the survivors of them. We're their grandchildren. Do we get paid for that? Shit, we're the ones that are suffering because of all of it. So it's not even trying to, I don't know. A lot of them, they talk like they, you know, but why weren't they doing it before they got into the goddamn business council? You know, you can't play the kind of boss for me, I tell them. You can't play that for me. I yell at those men. They waited till all those old guys, the original teachers, to die, to take it and put it in their hands, you know, the ones that sit in our council are traditional, supposed to be traditional peoples, honorary peoples. They're all converted people. Well, they can't represent me because, you know, they talk against the pipe, you know. That's how big of a mess our people are in. But other than that, the education and the religion that still divides our people. You know, and all their man-made sicknesses and policies and Go ahead.
And Anybody else? Twenty-five minutes left. Anybody want to elaborate?
Come on, people, engage. Engage, people. You all like to talk and tell stories and the shit that's going on, but then when it comes up to it, you don't want to do it? Well, then, man, don't fucking listen either. You all talk all that shit like you know everything. Get back online, man. Get back on the show. Express what your heart can do. Fuck, a woman's telling you something right there. A young man was telling me. I'm yelling at you guys because I live with this shit every day, man. I get sick and tired of that, man. I just buried my little brother, both of my little brothers, Tim Sullivan and my baby brother Calvin and my dog, Big Dog. I buried them three, man. Shit, you guys don't know what fucking pain is, man. But to our white man, he could scold you and you put your fucking head down. Ah, shit. Go to church, man. Go on. Go on to Sunday. Praise hallelujah to that fucker. You don't even know his God, let alone his Jesus. You don't even know him either. Come on, get on the show, guys. Talk. I told you today was going to be a heated one. Call out some numbers.
781. Come back on the air. Last digit, 6814. Okay, 208.
I'll pick back up on where we were at, talking about sovereignty, and you know, so this, you know, this perception that the federal government and the Washichis have of us is that, you know, we were a lawless, you know, nomadic group of people, we were the savages, you know, but, you know, when they butchered our ancestors at the Wounded Knee in that Sand Creek, you know, when they cut the women's, private parts off. And you know they'd sell them in the stores, you know, their pubic hairs, you know, they would, you know, they tanned that and they were selling them in the stores, you know, and but they called us the savage. So you know, history is written by the victor. Now if you want to know your future, you just gotta read your history. So, you know, that sovereignty is based on your land. And so if you're a large land-based tribe, you have more sovereignty. And you need your language. And you need your own constitution. So you need those things in order to be a sovereign, and we're all sovereign. But the where we don't exercise that is where we get in trouble. You know, we're here, and there's a certain amount of fear, that tribal council has to these government people. You know, let a Washichu come stand on council floor from the government. Yeah, you know, these councilmen, boy, they shake in their boots, you know. They're afraid of them. But I get upset at these Washichu government people who come here because, you know, I pay their salary with my taxes. And I don't like – I remember one of my law-laws, Verdell Blue Arm, and I was a young man then, and he would talk to me, but he would get so upset he would chew me out, you know, or not chew me out, but he would get angry at how we've been treated,
how, what we have become. So you have to look at the very beginning of all of this. All of this, go back in time. You know, the Lakotas, you know, the sun rose and set on that Lakota Empire, you know. So now here we are, and we're reduced to begging. We're reduced to begging under this IRA government. But we have all of these Indians. Boy, we have our hands out. We don't want to sever that tie with the federal government, because the federal government is our master, you know. So we'll get down on our hands and knees, and we'll lick from their hands, you know. And so this is the problem. This is the mentality. This is the mentality of a conquered, you know, broken people. And so what you have here is you have a tribal council that has been conditioned to do what the federal government, as one of my airborne instructors told me back in the day, do what I say do, you know. So we may as well not even have a tribal council. Let's just have the federal government tell us what to do directly, because all these tribal councils are a little mouthpiece. They're little puppets for the federal government. They've donned that cloak of colonialism on them. And so what we have here with our tribal council, and one of our attorneys by the name of Steve Emery, he did away with, on the books at Cheyenne River, he did away with the blood quantum, and along with tribal council, they just said you just have to trace your ancestry back. You don't need to be a quarter or half or more. You just have to trace that back, and then voila, you're a Cheyenne River member. So this was done so that these Washita councilmen can turn around and give these range units to these other Washitas. So here you are, you got all these Washitas that are running on our land. There's probably on Cheyenne River only maybe five Lakota ranchers left. All the rest over here are Washitas. So again, through this cow drinks up this water. He eats all the grass. We're sending that profit off of the reservation. We're sending our most valuable resource, our lands, our waters, off the reservation. Now, who benefits? The Washita that's running that cow. And he doesn't care that he damages and he overgrazes this grass. All he's living for is today. He's living for himself. He doesn't care that he has, we have grandchildren, and that this land belongs to them. He just cares about how much money he's going to put in his pocket. So this is the mentality. And like I said, you know, this whole mentality, this whole, you know, generation of people who watched that, Dallas, you know, who watched that one show they used to play in the movie theater with Rock Hudson and that big oil guy, and the guy who was a cattle rancher. Everybody wants to be this big rancher. You know, this is the mentality. Oh, we want to be like that. You know, that's success. To walk around with a checkbook hanging out your back pocket and a cowboy hat, you know, to be a big wheel. You know, drive a truck up and down Main Street with the horse trailer. Like, that's their idea of success. But the thing about this is there's not enough land for our young people, because all the Washitas have it. And you got this DIA, one of our elders, she's confided in me. She told me that this Washita was overstocking on her land. So when she went to the BIA after they caught him overstocking on her land, this has been going on for years, and she asked the BIA lady there, Jerry Vines, she's related to Kevin Keckler, she asked her, how am I going to be compensated for this guy overgrazing on my lands? So she said, the karma's going to take care of you. You know, so here, so this tells me that the BIA is a part of this, because those BIA officials who are supposed to have a trust responsibility, they're running cows too. So how much money does the BIA and tribal council make running cows on our land? You see, it's become a little clique. You know, if you're a part of it, if you're in, you're in. And there isn't enough land. 99% of us aren't in. Only 1%'s in. Right? So, and this is why tribal council have to steal that election, because I know how the game's played. You know, it didn't take me too long. It took me 2 years to figure it out, because when I would come from Massachusetts and you know, I had a house here, you know, a little house, small as a postage stamp, you know, about $560,000 is what it was worth. But you drive across Cheyenne River, it take a couple hours, hour and a half to get across the hour. You know, you have all this land, yet we're still the poorest people in the nation. How does that work? Well, you just have to track the numbers. You just got to follow the money. You know, you can go in there and you can get a cattle report and an agriculture report. That's all online, and go by your counties to see how much money they make. How much cattle were sold in Dewey County? How many cattle were sold on Zeebock County? You'll see it. It's in the hundreds of millions. So you're at hundreds of millions of dollars of cattle being sold, but us Indians, you know, we sit there with our little hands out and we beg. You know, and these councilmen, you know, this is why they sit around and they call us stupid. But I want them to answer these questions, you know. Because if $330 million is generated on Cheyenne River, now of that we get. But the other part to this that's a part of the equation that has to get added up is, what is your total land value of your land? What's the total cost of it? Now, you know, the BIA would always say, oh, well, you know, Indian lands aren't worth as much as white man's land. Well, who says? Who says that? Who says my lands aren't worth as much as the white man's? Tribal council says that. And the BIA says that. They're the only two people that say that.
Yeah.
And we believe them.
Mm.
So they say, oh, well, your land. And I'm like, no, I don't believe you. Try and buy my land. The person that sets the value of the land is the seller. You can't tell me my land's worth $1,000, because to me it's priceless. You can't give me enough money for my land. But here we are, and I guess we are dumb if we believe what they tell us. But I don't believe that, because this is the thing. That land, these dreams that we have, these dreams that are given to us by the Creator, these dreams that we have that are sacred, they're tied to that land. So if you sell that land, you're just selling a part of who you are. You're selling your kids' relationship with the great mystery. Because this is Mother Earth. When she bled, she gave life. This is why that man, the men go into that sundance. We pierce, you know, we spill that blood so that we can live, so that our kids can live. You know, it's all related. We're all related. But
10 minutes. 10 minutes on remaining on the show. 10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes on the show. Let's drop the subject right there, Lanny. You know, okay. Let's ask this question: did Bryce Inderwoods come on the show with any of his council people?
No.
I asked him to do this. I asked him to do this tonight. To bring some of his council people. And he didn't do it?
No.
See, that's my problem right there with my people. He can do it. He wants to resolve. He wants the solutions. They can't do it. See, this is what we talk about in Indian country. The land's mine and the story. You want it, you talk to me. There ain't no price for my land, regardless. The philosophical standards that happen in Indian country, people, is, again, I'm going to go back to it. You all want to be white. That's what it is. So if that's the case, then why talk? You're not calling out Harold Frazier. You're not calling out Vince Dupree. You're not calling out Bryce. You're not calling out his wife. You're not calling out Manny's sister. You're not calling Rymie LeBeau. You're not calling out nobody. It has to be done. You're not calling out any of these people. Here in Pine Ridge, we got a stupid kid named Kevin Keller, okay? And him and his cronies use the youth to circumvent the issues that go on any reservation because it's about drugs. The white man found a way to get you guys, and you all went for it. This generation. People talked about this generation. They used to say that shit. And this is why a lot of our elders left us. But this topic tonight, okay, that I told you guys this is going to be heavy. Heavy. I'm still pissed off. I'm fucking mad, man, because we want to appease the system. We want to appease the white man. I can't even sing for anybody. I asked him to do that, but, I'm no good. Well, fine. I'm good with that, too. I'm comfortable with that. That's okay. But what I'm telling you guys is that I'm still here in poverty. I'm still here in poverty. One more time, I'm still here in poverty. But that doesn't stop me from getting the voice out there. There are many scores of human, you know, divisiveness coming at the sake of the tribal governments, the federal government, the state government, the county government, okay? But needless to say, they're all white run. White run. One more time. White run, okay? So you take that to your bank and try to deposit. They won't even accept it. This is why this heinous attire, because of the indigenous thought and philosophy, is still a fucking world trying to be run by men. And it's trying to neutralize the rights of women and children, yet alone elders. So we urge you guys to come on these shows to really get heavy. But again, you all want to get soft. I'm going to share this in closing. Malakota. Namatuenishni. Chanupagulaha money emachapi. Lakota lechus e ochlati imichaki kikakana uchina inana atewa kilena lechus emakupi wichoni kile. He un tako epchekile chokata kya oyate mitchoki not is in oichoki. Nanila ota lila. Kauchik iksui chapi. Huch lila makhachina kiu kapi. Oyok shicha. Asini ashni lechus e. Washichu tcha wap heki. Ksala lechus e. Wak sape ki ipach ilala na lechus e wakwa la wagla kokte. Me hechus e ato a wakisne. Me hechus e wagla ke wakisne. Malakota. Nama wichasha. Koetan wichoni ki le. Ki wahe ki he makuki. Me he nus noze. For what I said in my language to the listening audience, I don't need to explain that fucker to you. and I won't. I thank all of you for coming on to this show, because until you really look at your mortal enemy and understand what that man is capable of doing, then you'll know what it means to be a Lakota. And when I mean a Lakota, I mean all tribes. All tribes. It just doesn't mean the Lakota. Then you'll know what that means. Because that white man wants us gone. The same way he wants other countries, his poor people and everyone else gone. This is what that man's capable of doing. But since he's on the verge of extinction, okay, his own people told me this. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that they're going to die off. That subject can come back up tomorrow. I urge all of you that are listening to really take a look at it and see who really is inside the fence. Go out to a fence somewhere in your field, or go to somebody's house and go look at that fence and see who's incarcerated, goddammit. Then you'll understand what human life is. Then you'll understand what it means to be who you are. And until then, you'll understand that the great mystery has never had a fence around him. Mother Earth, you're putting fences up on top of her, and she don't like it. The wind you can't even incarcerate. Duh. Let alone the sun as it comes up in the east and goes down in the west. You can't even put him in jail. Let alone the moot. The moot is what hides people's thought and philosophy. Then you take a look at our little brother, the moon. The moon don't have a jail around him. But yet you people still always trying to incarcerate everything else that breathes. Sad but true. I share this with you guys because my heart is angry. Three important people in my life passed away. My big dog, my little brother Calvin, and my little brother Tim Sullivan. They all left me, man. And that's the sad part. I carry their pain. I never cried so hard when I laid my baby brother to rest, when I seen him. And this is how fucked up my people have become. My sister couldn't even cry. Why? Because she's part of my baby brother's death. That's the problem. Divide and conquer. They use our families to turn against each other. And that's what's happening here. So I'm going to share this song in closing with all of you. And I want you guys to understand, man. If you're indigenous, act like it. If you're a red man, act like it. And if you want to be free, act like it. And if you want that independence, act like it. I don't want to hear no other bullshit, man, that goes along with the fairy tale of a white man. So this is my song in closing to all of you. And thank you all for who talked, Vanny, Jenny, whoever else was on. Even you, Tyreek, even though I raised my voice at you. I take full responsibility of my words and actions. You want to call me and talk about it? 605-517-2621. Yeah, man, I'll sit down and talk with you. And I'll tell you why. Because until you understand what it means to be free, then you'll know how to sing and talk loud. So here's my song in closing to all of you. And thank you all. We'll see you all tomorrow night on the Indigenous Voices of People, starting at 5 o'clock in the evening, Mountain Time, to 7. Here's our closing song. Ya eh hi ho eh 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 e Yeah, hey, hi, hi, hello, I, yo, hey, yo, yeah, hey, hi, hi, hello, I, yo, hey, yo, yeah, hey, hi, hi, hello, I, hey, ho, yeah, hey, hi, hi, hello, hey, 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 yeah, hey.